In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too might walk in newness of life. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These are words that I think perhaps for most of us came in typical Lutheran tradition a few weeks after we were born into the light of the world. For some, it may have come right after birth into the light of this world. And for others, it may have come perhaps as a teenager or an adult. Regardless, the head of the old creature, the old Adam, is crushed. You have a new birth. You have a new life in Christ. Amen and amen. Yet the world really does scoff and chastises Christians who are baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They really are blind to the blessings of God's grace through faith, this gift of holy baptism in water and word. They really are. By the old creature, they are empty-headed. They are myopic. They are narrow-minded. Old creatures that really prefer the world and the devil's way. It's kind of like for some of them walking up to a water cooler, taking a drink, and saying, well, that's kind of cool and soothing, and that's about all it is. It is no more. It's a symbol. As people say, well, you know, I've heard about this baptism. It seems to me that when a pastor or a layperson is kind of pouring water over the head or somebody is immersed in water and the Trinitarian voice of God is coming, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it seems to me like that's kind of magic, and that the people who are doing this, well, aren't they kind of like magicians, like Mumford the Magician on Sesame Street, you know, a la peanut butter sandwich. Whoop, you're a Christian. And then many say, why baptize? I mean, what can really be in water and a few words that you speak from God's Bible? What benefit is it? Let's face it, I am still poor. I am miserable. I am trying to make ends meet in this world. I mean, look at the financial crisis that we are in around us. I am trying to get my family together. I'm trying to deal with everything that can happen with my family, my health, my well-being, my wife's health, her well-being, and we even have a child, a special need child, who has been diagnosed with situs inversus. That is, all of the organs inside this tiny little child are on the wrong side of his body. And well, if that's not the end of it, of course, the neighbors that we have on both sides and behind us and in front of us in our subdivision, well, they seem to be doing pretty good. Never see them go to church. They have a couple cars, you know. They seem to be doing well. They're happy. Their livelihood is good. And I've tried to talk to them about baptism and Christianity and sacrament of the altar and, you know, things like that to let them know what we believe, teach, and confess. And they say, hey, we don't need it. I mean, we're just doing really, really well. I mean, I haven't been baptized. Come on, and look at the good life that I'm living. Well, the punishment for despising the divine blessings of holy baptism really is that the devil and the old sinful flesh lead them to a life of ongoing hopelessness, despair, and eternal damnation. There is no meeting the Lord Jesus Christ halfway when it comes to holy baptism. And since you are buried with him by baptism in death, in order that Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that you might walk in newness of life, then why do you live a life that trashes the grace of your holy baptism? When were you baptized? Now, some may say, well, who cares about the date? It's what happened. But when were you baptized? When was the last time that you celebrated when God brought you into his family as an adopted son or daughter by water and word in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. When was it? Our memories are good, but short, because many times we treat holy baptism as simply a mere token, something that we do as a Lutheran. It's part of, well, now I'm born, I guess we better baptize the kids and keep them going. And then we want to make sure we have our confirmation and our membership in the church so that we have our burial plot out there. We want to keep it going. Because we look at it, yes, as a token and not the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who has externally marked you but declares you are a different person before God and his people. As Pastor Luther says, you are born of baptism to righteousness and eternal life. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned. And he concludes, you are baptized by God himself. You are entombed with Christ. You are dead in sin, and you leave the tomb with Christ alive in this newness of life, this new life, the new Adam, the new creature. The old creature is now drowned through repentance and faith, dead through repentance and faith, and your new Adam, your new creature, arises in newness of life, and in Christ you walk in this world, living this life of Christ, celebrating the righteousness of God in Christ, knowing that your sins are forgiven. They have been buried, gone, died. And they, as the Lord says, as far as the east is from the west, the north is, your sins are remembered no more. Though your sins be as scarlet, I declare them to be as white as snow. By he who was raised for the forgiveness of our sins. You know, in the parish, the one thing that I learned in my short 10 years and a few vacancies, God is always teaching, isn't he? He is always teaching. There could be no greater funeral sermon to preach than to know that one who has died in Christ and has been baptized into the resurrection and death of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, in the life. For in that Christ has snatched you from the jaws of Satan, who is ready to just totally drain you of your life in Christ through the old creature's sinful flesh. But in your baptism, God gave you his grace, faith. And you know this faith does not disappoint you. You are justified by faith apart from works of the law. This you hear all the time, and this is what faith tells you. Baptism is God's work for you. Those in your family and at the seminary and wherever you serve the Lord and his people, they see your newness of life in Christ. You are marked by God's grace in water and in word. The triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was at your baptism. And you know, this is so great when you're serving God's people. He is at every baptism. Every baptism. And this always reminds me, and I always shared with those, whether they're just a newborn baby, a teenager, or a younger adult, he is always with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, regardless now of these tough financial times that we're in. The death of a family, an impending surgery, a debilitating injury, or perhaps an inherited disease or physical condition, depression, anxiety, teaching overload, and maybe a whole bunch of papers that are due at the end of this term, and thinking about what's going on in the next term, and everything that's in your life, whether it's a boyfriend or girlfriend problems, or you are newly engaged and thinking about all of these things, or you're looking forward to teaching in a middle school someplace, God's Word and all of its truth and purity. and whatever else is going on in your life, there is God. God has wrapped you up in His grace and given you His mark in water and word, promising the forgiveness of sins, salvation, and eternal life. This is a new birth and a new life. We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too might walk in newness of life. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.